Please turn in the Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. I'm really honored that the Lord called me to bring you guys a message. It's really special to me. One, God gave it to me. God. And so, it's got to be good. So, and I really put on my heart to give it to you guys in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 9 through 10. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for this night, Lord God. God, I'm truly blessed to be in this family, Lord God, and give this word to them, Lord God, that You have given me, Lord. I just come and say, I have nothing, Lord God. I have nothing without You, Jesus. And Lord God, I just pray that You would speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you probably understand, I was kind of nervous to do this, but God really spoke to me, and He told me that this isn't me. This is not what I bring to you guys. This is only what God has given me, and that He speaks through me to share with you guys. And it's not just me. It's not me. Any of the youth could have brought this if God wanted, but God chose to give me a word, and I'm really excited to share it with you guys. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. This sermon is about the gospel, but I'm going to sum it up in a sentence. The gospel is the news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died for our sins, rose again, eternally triumphant over all His enemies, so that now there is no condemnation for those who believe, but everlasting joy. Okay. First of all, the gospel begins with God. And the whole problem with us is the very nature of God. God is just. Now, and in Isaiah 5:16, please turn there. God is just. Isaiah 5:16 says, "But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and the Lord who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness." In another translation, it says, "But the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and the holy God shows Himself in righteousness." So God is just. And one of the great things that I think is God cannot violate His attributes. So there's nothing that can violate His attributes. That means that He alone is perfect. There's nothing else that can come against Him. He is bound, the Bible says, to Himself. Now, Wyatt has said before, that doesn't mean that He was bound by something else. He bound Himself to His attributes. And it would be kind of scary to think that the whole universe, all of us people, all planets, the whole galaxy, the solar system that we're in, is ran by an evil God. That would just be scary. Be terrible. And I'm going to share with you tonight the most terrifying truth of the Bible. Sounds scary, it's terrifying. But now, the most terrifying truth of the Bible, this might surprise you, God is good. Why? Why is God good? And why is that a bad thing? God is good, but we are not. So, what does He do with us? If God is a just God, and we are not good, how can He have fellowship with us? If He pardons the wicked, He is not just. If a holy God calls the wicked to have fellowship with Him, He is no longer who He says He is. And as I said earlier, and as the Bible says, God does not violate His attributes. Now, I'm not here to get into the full extent of sinful nature that we have, because the contrast of God, the perfect Holy One, and us, that's very scary. And we, the eternal, lost my train of thought, eternal separation from Him is a scary thing, because He is perfect and He runs the universe. So, let me paint you a little picture. You sin against a rock. You're not guilty. It's a rock. You sin against a person, and yeah, you're guilty. You may even be put to death. But you sin against an infinitely holy God, and you are infinitely guilty and deserve infinite destruction from the infinitely holy God that you have rejected. Now, that's scary, but look back into 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. Hopefully I can find it faster now. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Think about that. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now that's pure gospel. And that's a really good thing, because God is good. Okay. So, question is, how does God pardon sinners and still be just? Well, the answer is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. In the cross of Jesus Christ, we see a tremendous, unique portrayal of God's attributes. We see that God is just. He must condemn our sin. And He did on the cross. Also, God is love. He becomes a man to live in His Son, lives a perfect life, and willingly goes to the cross to bear all of our sins. All the wrath of God that we deserve is now thrown down on Jesus. So, it appeased the Father, because His wrath towards us would please Him. But, He, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10, it says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, so there must be somebody else. And that's Jesus Christ. Let me say this again. All of the wrath of God that we deserve is thrown down on Jesus Christ. And this is really cool to me. The exact measure of God's wrath that was given to us was put on the head of Jesus Christ on the cross. It wasn't that our sins were atoned just because the Romans took Jesus, beat Him up, and killed Him on a cross. It's not what it was. It's that Jesus carried all of our sins. In Isaiah 53:10 says, it pleased the Lord to crush Him. Now all of this wrath that He appointed for us to have is now on Jesus Christ. Then, Jesus rose again, beating the power that destroys us. That is, beating death. And through His resurrection, we now have power that Jesus had. We have to realize there is no other name by which we are saved, because it was only Jesus that took the exact measure of wrath that was given, that was going to be put on us. And in the Bible it says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, that is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross and He took the wrath. Now, that's not where it ends. We have to respond to this. and he came to save us. In order to be saved, God calls us, the Bible calls us to repentance and to believe in the gospel. Pastor Mark said this morning, repentance in Greek means to change one's mind. That means to take all of the thoughts that you've had on reality, to put it down, and to see and to submit to God's truth and who He is, about who you are, and about Jesus Christ and why He died for us. Most of us, I think, have repented. I thought of a question: how do we know that we have repented? And when we repent, I said that it means to take all of our thoughts and about who we thought we were, all of reality, and throw them away and turn to Jesus Christ. And repentance will change your will. Do the sins you once loved, do you now despise? The holiness which you ignored, do you now desire? When I went out street preaching with Mark and Jeff Griffiths, we met a really special dude. His name is Jeff Rose. He was friends of Jeff Griffiths. And one of the things he said to me really touched my heart and really made me think about this. We should be no more holy during the week than in church on Sunday. I'm going to say this again in a different way. We should be no more holy in church on Sunday than we are during the week. That is, we go to church on Sunday, and then we go out into the world. The world is unholy. Do we choose to be unholy with them? Or do we choose to do what we did when we repented? Our will has changed, and that's evidence that you've repented. The second part, we also must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We must recognize that there is nothing in us that can save us. As the hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring, but only to the cross of Christ I cling. And that really touches me, because that gave me peace when I was nervous about sharing this with you guys. Now, the second question, how do you know that you have truly believed? It will continue. You will continue to believe. Doesn't mean that the emotional high that you get when you have been saved, when you've first been saved, the emotional high may not continue. But you begin to deepen in your faith, and your will changes, and you begin to look more like Jesus Christ. Now, it won't be a perfect image of Jesus Christ, because we're not perfect. Now, that is the gospel. So, I would like to share with you about one of the things that stood out to me. That God is the first and the last in the gospel. He is the first and the last. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, let's turn to there. For I delivered to you, first of all, that in which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That means that something before signified, this is the plan. God, from beginning, which there wasn't a beginning. From the beginning of the creation of the world, God had a plan, because He knows. He is perfect, and so He knows down through history what will happen. And He, in His infinitely artistic mind, had a plan. That is point number one. Point number two, an event in history. This was, the gospel is an event in history. Christ died. Now, a lot of people in the world like to say that he didn't, but he did. Point number three, there is an achievement through that event that Christ died. Something happened between the Son and the Father. Sin was paid for. A perfect sacrifice offering was paid because Jesus Christ gave his life in obedience. That's Amen. Perfect obedience that is the perfect price that had to be paid to appease God's wrath. Number four, that cleansing of sin and relationship with God is an offer to the world that is free. So the gospel is a free offer to the world. If the offer wasn't free, there wouldn't be any gospel. If we had to be saved by works, there wouldn't be a gospel. And that's why that really stood out to me, how we Christians are different from Mormons, is because their gospel is different from ours, because they have to do works in order to be saved. And that is a totally different gospel. That's, to me, that's really disgusting. And so, and it should disgust you guys too, because if somebody was to say that you had to do something in order to be saved, none of us are perfect, and so we cannot accomplish what needs to be done to be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ, Son of God, who lived perfectly. Amen. Number five, the application of the offer. You accept this offer. You are now justified by faith. By faith. Not by works, by faith. You are justified. Now, all of your sins are thrown away. This is the point that some people stop at. And it's kind of scary to think this, because if we're just justified by faith, why? Why are we justified by faith? Why have our sins been thrown out? If we stop at forgiveness, say we stop at forgiveness. Why do we stop at forgiveness? Because some people might say, well, I don't like a guilty conscience. I don't want to go to hell. My family would be better off if I was not a person holding guilt. But turn to 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, by the Spirit. In the first part of this, it says, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is why he came and died for our sins, that we would no longer have to face the wrath of God. We're forgiven and justified to bring us to God. He is the end. He's the first and the last. Our forgiveness is not the end. God is the end. He is our treasure. That is why he died for our sins, so that we can be eternally grateful and worshiping him. Our going to heaven and not having a sick body is not the end. If somebody in the Bible said, if there's no God in heaven, I don't want to be there. That is why God wants us to be in heaven, is because he is there. All of forgiveness and justification and going to heaven are means. Means to what? Means to knowing Him, loving Him, and being glorified through us because we are eternally satisfied in God. He's the first and the last. This is the difference between people satisfying churches that only want people to be just satisfied with the church and to, by any means, entertainment to bring them to church. We are satisfied in God. People go to church and may read their Bible, but that isn't what saves them. Here's an example of this in John 5:37. Please turn there. John 5:37. And the Father Himself, who sent me, has testified of me. There again, He has testified of me. He had a plan. You have neither heard this voice at any time, nor seen His form. But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, you do not believe. You see the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. In this context, Jesus is speaking to the Jews who read the Old Testament a lot, and some of them may have memorized it, but same as with me, if they do not believe in Jesus Christ and He is not there, they do not cling to Him and believe in Him to do all that they need to do, that scripture is dead. Because to them, it's not testifying of Jesus Christ and God's plan to save them. So they have rejected it, even though they're reading all the scriptures that point to Him. So again, people can go to church and may read their Bible, but that is not what saves them. What saves them is repentance and believing in Jesus Christ as the one true Savior that you can only do things through Him. As I touched on earlier, you are no more holy. You are to be no more holy in church than you are to be out in the world. And some people don't believe that. They haven't heard of that. And so they might not think like this, but they are ashamed of the gospel in being no more holy and being less holy than you are in church. You're being ashamed because you're conforming to the ways of the world. In Romans 1:16, please turn there. A lot of these scriptures you probably heard of, but still want to take you there. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul wrote this, and he was a pretty cool dude. And he believed in Jesus Christ, and he wanted these people to know that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That means you're not just not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in church. You have to be ashamed in the world where people are ashamed and people look down on you for it. But you should be so willing to follow Jesus Christ because what He did for us. Because rejecting Him means that we are eternally separated from Him and we have heard the gospel and we know what comes if we do reject Him, that's the wrath of God and eternal separation from Him. Turn to Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, says in this adulterous and sinful generation, not in church, out in the world, during your weekday. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now let me ask you a question. Would you rather be put to shame by the world or put to shame by an eternally just God, a good God, perfect God, who died for your sins, who loves you? Who would you rather be put to shame by? That is the gospel. And I believe all of you guys have heard of that, but that is what God put on my heart to share with you guys. And I don't know why, but God is perfect. And just like He had a plan for dying on the cross for our sins, just as He had that perfect plan, He had a plan for me to share this gospel with you guys in this church. As we close, I would like to call Devin and Crystal up for the altar call. Just as we close, really think about what God did for you. This is like a really long communion meditation. And just as we're very serious in the communion, I really want to you guys to think about what God's done for you and why He died for our sins. That is all.
The altar is open for anyone who needs prayer. We're here to pray with you, for you.